So I guess first of all, can you all introduce yourselves?
Hi, my name's Kath. I'm a local musician and zinester.
Hi, my name's Morgan. I'm a local zinester and poet.
Hi, I'm Kirsty. I am a local zinester and I work for Discovery at Swansea University.
First of all, what's the story and the inspiration behind Swansea Zine Fest?
Okay, so I'm actually the newest to the zining of the three of us, but about 2 years ago I think I'd come back from making my first ever zine with Kirsty, and she started talking about zine fairs and zine fests, and I thought that sounded really fun, and I'd never been to one before in my life, and I went, should we do one? Should we put one on? And yeah, so that sort of was the first inspiration. I remember we were standing in Uplands and we were just like, oh yeah, that'll be easy.
So then me and Morgan moved in together, and then it was more than about like just talking about it all the time, and it became more and more something that we wanted to do. And Kath is like our like more organized and experienced friend. we gotta have Kath. So that was sort of what happened.
What can those visiting the event expect throughout the day?
So we've got about 29 stalls from zine makers, small press, crafts, comics, self-publishing, and they're selling a range of things, so zines, comics, and handmade items. We've also got a zine reading session in the afternoon where attendees are invited to read something that they've written from their own zines on a range of topics. And we'll have a pay-as-you-feel table on the day. So people are invited to donate zines, and then attendees can pay what they feel. And all money raised from that will be donated to Discovery, which is our charity of choice. Is that what you'd say? Or like our beneficiary charity for the day?
Yeah, as well as this, we're going to be making a Swansea Zine Fest comp zine. So the idea is that everyone can come in to a table, we'll have supplies, and everyone can make a page to go in a zine we'll put together to just sort of say something about Swansea, about the Zine Fest. It can be anything that people want, but the idea is we've got a collective of things that people want to, everyone has visited, just put together. Also on the table, we'll have instructions on how to make your own one-page zine, and so anyone can come and have a go.
Also great washi tapes.
What does organising such an event involve?
I think it involves a lot of sort of time to think about it first. Like, I think this sort of thing, we were thinking about the concept and the idea for well over a year before we thought about actually putting it in motion, just to sort of figure out whether it was something that would work, whether it's something that would work in Swansea, or whether we'd need to go further afield. We did talk at one point whether we needed to do it in Cardiff, and then when we actually got going, it was getting the venue, making sure that we had the tablers and advertising and all of that sort of thing, and lots of little details like, you know, where are we going to get our cool washi tapes? Are we going to use our own, or do we have funds?
Yeah, I would probably add that we also made an effort. We really wanted to make sure that diverse groups are represented in the tablers, so we wrote that we were particularly welcoming for women and people of colour and LGBT people to come forward and table. So we kind of, the people at the Zine Fest were represented the diversity of the city itself.
I mean, and I guess the diversity of, or, and kind of the some of the key features of self-publishing itself, right? Like the ability to, that it's quite cheap and easy to make and distribute zines is like quite a core feature. It's accessible. It's something that people can get involved with, and where you get kind of stories and narratives that are different from what you find anywhere else. Like, so I think that was, yeah, representing Swansea, but also like making the best of the zine community and representing that the best.
Yeah, profiling marginalised voices, I guess.
And can you explain more about what zines are, just for those who might not know?
So a zine is a small self-published DIY booklet or pamphlet. It's normally small run, so there's a small number of copies, and it's normally made by one person or a very small group of individuals. And a zine can be on any topic that you like, so it can be about art, poetry, politics, personal stories, recipes, travel, like literally anything you can think of. And they're normally photocopied and distributed for cheap or for free. And as Kirsty said, one of the great things about zines is that they're accessible and anyone can make them, and there isn't a focus on kind of writing something, you know, really well, or being really eloquent, or being really kind of talented with putting together. Talented is not the right word. You know what I mean? Like, there's the emphasis isn't on like creating a really polished professional product. The emphasis is on sharing your voice and sharing your stories.
Yeah, something that sort of hit home about zines for me was last year me and Kirsty went to Weirdo Zine Fest in London, and we had a table, and a man came up to us there, and he was quite new to zining, and he was saying the reason why he's got into it so much so quickly is because you get these stories that you just wouldn't get anywhere else, these tiny little snapshots into life that would never make a book, never make a full, large distributed comic or a movie or anything like that. They're just tiny little daily life things that can end up being put in a zine that you wouldn't hear about otherwise. They just don't come up in many other forms of media.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think there's a lot of nuance in zines, and there's a lot of reality. Like, it's like you say, those small moments of life, but like that don't fit into, and this experience was really good or really bad. It's like, well, actually, I had a really great day, but I, like, my mental health was really poor that day, in a way that you know, they're not neat, clean narratives, are they? They're complex, and they reflect the people that make them, or like they're about dinosaurs, which is also cool. But you know, like they can be on any topic, but particularly we're into perzine, so particularly people writing personal stories, and I think that's one of the real appeals of those, I would say.
Why would you encourage students, university students, to both attend Swansea Zine Fest, but maybe also have a go at making their own zines?
I mean, there's loads in it for students. Like, it's a self-expression thing. Like, it's a good, like relatively cheap creative hobby compared to lots of different things. And there's a real community. It's a nice way to get involved with other people in a way that isn't centred around like drinking, or you know, those kind of activities that people may or may not be into. I also think students should come because we're fundraising for Discovery, which provides a number of volunteering opportunities for students here, but you know, helping support the local community in that way whilst being involved in you know, a fun day, getting some stuff.
Yeah, and I'd encourage people to make their own zines, because one of the things I've really liked about zines is I would not generally describe myself as very artistic. I always was terrible in art class at school. I can't recreate things. There's lots of things that I've struggled with, and that means that I often haven't made things. But I think everyone every now and again gets that urge to just create and to have something that actually doesn't have to be polished. It's not going to be, you know, held up against or critiqued against other pieces of art. That's just, you can just sit down, create a whole piece that doesn't have to be, you know, the standard artistic masterpiece to be of value.
What attracted you yourselves to create zines, or what is the inspiration behind your own zines?
I'm going to say Kath, because it was literally Kath. And we met, when did we meet? Like 7 years ago? Something like that. And that was the first time I'd ever heard the concept of a zine. And I kind of got into it. But a lot like Morgan, I've never identified as a particularly like crafty or arty person. But I do really like writing, and I've always liked writing. And then the more zines I read, the more interested I was, and that was kind of where I went from. I guess the inspiration for zines I make, well, we kind of do two kinds. So I've done, me and Kath and another friend, Emily, we edited Sonorous, which is a zine about feminist perspectives of Harry Potter, where we got other people to write in with articles and we would write things. We did that for 5 years. So that was very much about kind of two of my major interests being feminism and Harry Potter and kind of how we could fit those together. So there's those kind of cultural criticism type zines, but I guess my perzines are just like things that happen and I think, oh, there would be a way to, you know, how can I process this, or like, what's this about, or something that I think other people might be able to relate to, or often things I'm really frustrated that people don't talk about more, like that I would say would be a big inspiration for me, is like, okay, I know I can't be the only person in the world that's ever felt like this, so maybe let's find out. And the good thing about zines is often you do, then people say like, oh, I really related to that, like, so it's cool.
So I came across zines when I was in university in 2008. I met someone who had a website that sold zines, and that was the first time I'd ever heard of zines. And she lent me some zines from her collection, and yeah, same. So I found them really inspiring, and that was one of my first forays into feminism as well, and feminist activism and queer activism. So some of the things that I'd read in those zines were things that I'd never even considered before. So like something even as simple as one of the zines I read called Culture Slut, which is an amazing zine, talked about how she doesn't shave her underarms because of, you know, problematic beauty standards. She said, well, why should we? You know, I'm just going to grow my underarm hair. And that was the first time I'd ever considered just accepting my body the way that it was. And it was really powerful for me, you know, growing up in a culture where women have to behave in certain ways and have to adhere to certain standards to be considered even acceptable. So that was really radical for me. And from there, I was inspired to create my own and talk about my own experiences. And for me, at that time, my zines focused a lot on some of my mental health issues. I'm an introvert. And, you know, always felt like I wasn't cool enough because I was introverted and quiet and anxious. And I also wrote a lot about bisexuality, which at that time, less so now, but certainly at that time, I felt was missing from a lot of LGBT discourse. That the focus tended a lot to be about lesbian discourse, more so than bisexuality. And as I've gotten older, the kind of focus has been slightly different, but I would say that generally my zine is still about being an introvert, being queer, being feminist, and how to kind of navigate daily life and trying to live a happy and meaningful life.
I actually first heard about zines when I was 15, when I read a book called Hard Love by Ellen Whitlinger. And it's a story about a young zinester with a troubled family who ends up falling for another zinester who turns out to be a lesbian, and they're sort of how they develop a friendship and how all that works. And there's lots of examples in there of like what zining was like and examples of articles, and I thought, does this exist in the real world? Are there people out there that would want to read these silly poems that I've done, or, you know, just read a monologue between how I felt about, you know, an argument I had with a friend or something like that. And I, you know, it really hit me when I was reading that, and I remember doing research into it and sort of looking a bit on the internet, but there was nothing around me then that I could really explore it. So I didn't then come across it in real life until I met Kirsty, and she encouraged me to make my first zine. And since then, I've loved it. I like making things that are colourful. I like feeling arty without the pressure. I like being able to talk about anything. So some things that inspire me might be quite serious or about something I'm going through, and some of them might be the second zine I ever did was I was meant to do something really serious, and Kirsty turned up with all the zining stuff and I had a horrible cold. I was so ill and I was just like, I can't do it. I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to do a zine today. And she goes, no, you're fine. I'm like, no, I won't be able to. She said, do it about your cold. Like, no one's going to want to read about my cold. So, but then I put together like a zine about how much I hated having that cold with a lot of extreme dramaticism in.
The Voldemort picture.
Oh yeah, I've got this excellent bit in it where I'd been so ill that I had put and my roof of my mouth was itchy, so I'd put lip balm up there, but then it was horrible, so I ended up just sticking my tongue out, and I found an excellent picture of Voldemort making the exact same expression to put in. I link a lot of Harry Potter stuff through most of my zines, and yeah, I think that's the thing, being able to talk about personal things, that some of them like seem sort of important and radical and some of them seem everyday, and then being able to link things in. So I often link cats and Harry Potter into my zines because I enjoy them, even when they're on entirely different subjects.
So creative activities and also like craft activities are often a great relaxation sort of activity. What are your opinions on these types of activities being a positive influence towards mental health?
Yes, I think that's kind of come up in some of our other answers, isn't it, about the strength of zines being that they don't have to be perfect, and some of the best ones actually aren't. They're imperfect, they're nuanced, they're complex, they don't present easy, neat answers. So I think the strength of zines is that you don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be proficient, you don't have to be a certain level. It's all about how you express yourself, and having a creative outlet is really important when you're managing mental health. You know, certainly in my experience, that's something that I think is essential.
I've just got a quip. The only thing I would say is, as a person with OCD, the cutting the fine and all the tiny pieces of paper and getting covered in things is, that's the downside of zines to me. But the writing and then having the finished product is the great bit. But there's a nightmare in between of being covered in small pieces of paper.
So I think what's particularly good for me about zining is, as a craft activity, is that you can go from zero to zine in any sort of period of time. If you just do, I've done ones that have literally taken me 5 minutes, I've done ones that have been a lot longer. So you can, if you're having a day where you have to do something and you have to, you know, you need to create something just to keep your mind busy, to distract yourself, but you might not be able to keep that up over time. That's, you know, can be an issue when people are doing big art projects or trying to write a novel, and having that sort of trying to feel productive but then having the setbacks and then that affecting your mental health. Whereas zining, you can sit down and create something whole that you can swap with people, you can share, you can sell, and you can do that in, you know, in a few minutes, in an hour, in a day, and you can just have that burst of creativity right there and then, and then have something of value to take away.
Like you said earlier, there's also a chance for people to read at the event. What advice would you give to those who might be a bit anxious about reading their stuff out loud in front of an audience?
What's great about zines is that it's about sharing your own personal story. So that's the focus. That's what we're all there for. So that's what we really want people to do. And there's no expectation for, you know, there's no kind of standard in terms of, you know, it having to be really well written, or what you'd kind of traditionally class as being really well written, and there's no expectation that it's even complete. It's just about self-expression and sharing your voice and sharing your story. And a lot of zinesters I find tend to be quite shy, introverted people. I think you know, we're kind of drawn to that medium, so you're in good company. You know, we're all going to be really supportive and welcoming and encouraging, and we really welcome new people. You know, no matter, even if you've never made a zine, even if you've only made one, even if you've made them for 20 years, we still want to hear your voice and your story.
Yeah, I also wanted to add that it's been a huge focus for us in organising the event, that it is a non-judgmental safe space, and that we're accepting of anyone, that all kinds of people. And so we want to emphasise that people are getting up if they're talking about something personal. We're really pushing for a sort of event where someone will always be like safe and encouraged to express themselves, whatever, even if it's something really, really personal or hard to say. And that we've, you know, for all of our tablers and for people speaking, we've made a point that we won't be accepting anything bigoted or anything really judgmental, and that it is a safe space for people.
Why are you sort of particularly encouraging stories from underrepresented groups? Like, what do you hope will come from people from these groups sharing their stories, for example?
I just think, and I think we're probably thinking some of the same things. Like, for me, growing up as a gay woman, like, there was nothing. There was nothing. And when there was something, you know, it makes me feel really old now, but like when I was a teenager, it was like the era of the L word. So when there was something, it was broadly these like beautifully put together, manicured, rich women, a long, long way away from my life and my experiences. And I think that's just what I think it is. I think it's about representation, giving people a place where what they have to say is important, which I think is really great for self-esteem, and also the ability to find people who can relate to that and like to like have role models in a different way, or those kind of things, I would say. And you know, and these are groups that are traditionally really underrepresented in mainstream media, so we're not hearing those stories, not getting those points of view, and just kind of that kind of stuff. Has anyone got anything to add?
Yeah, I think it's especially important to make sure that we're representing people at a zine fair, because as we sort of said before, a lot of those more polished and mainstream stories will actually, you know, they might end up being more likely to then become books in magazines and in lots of other sort of forms of media, and will get out there. And I think zining, because it's so accessible, it's so important that we make sure that we're representing the voices of people who need that accessibility most and who might not get their voices out otherwise. And not that we're saying they shouldn't otherwise, and we want that to happen, but in a world where often that doesn't happen, we want to really emphasise their voices.
Have we got zines where people
learn this? Yes, we've got a number of zines that have been done, a lot of them through Discovery, that have been written by people with a number of different additional needs, learning disability, mental health problems, and autism. We've just got lots of different representation there, so definitely come along to the Discovery stall, because there are some amazing things. The perspectives that people have put in some of these zines are just excellent and just wouldn't be heard or thought of otherwise, so we're really, really happy with that.
What are you all most excited for about the day itself?
Oh god, just everything. I think I'm looking forward to seeing it after we've put so much work into it, so like, you know, seeing what it all looks like, seeing all the tablers be there, like, you know, seeing people arrive. I'm looking forward to, getting some new stuff. There's loads of, like, because, you know, we've got a number of friends that make zines, and we've got some of them that are attending from other places, but actually lots of people that I'd never even heard of. I'd say, you know, the vast majority of our tablers, I haven't encountered their work before. So to hopefully trade some zines with them would be really cool.
I think I actually really enjoy event organising, even though it really stresses me out. So I think I look forward to the whole process, from the getting up early and feeling like we're never going to get it done in time to, you know, the tablers arriving, meeting them for the first time, you know, that bit at the start where you think, oh, is no one ever going to come in? Are we, you know, and then people do come in, and, you know, that bit where you're, you know, before you, when you sell your first scene of the day and you think, yes, it's worth it now. But you know, all of those moments, and like behind every event, even if it seems to be running smoothly, there's always a large amount of chaos, and that's stressful but also enjoyable. And you just, I think it's going to be an excellent day. And I'm looking forward to just seeing how many people in Swansea there are that are doing zining and self-publishing, and to sort of make a lot of those contacts and, you know, make sure that we're aware of each other, and that we can, you know, in a way become closer as a community by getting everyone under one roof for a day.
Those are both really good answers. I don't know if I've got anything to add after that. I am looking forward to seeing new zines that I haven't come across before, and kind of new topics that I haven't come across before. Zines that are on topics that aren't my usual topics. That aren't zines I would normally read. I'm looking forward to seeing other creative types from Swansea and the surrounding area, and meeting them, talking to them about zines, having conversations with like-minded people about our zines and kind of our shared interests. What else? Yeah, and I'm looking forward to kind of seeing all our hard work pay off, and see that, you know, how many people come through the door, and have a good time.